into our third hour. Unless you're just now joining us, then maybe it's your first hour. Either way, it's good to have you here. I am Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so we start this third hour. It's open phones. If I can get you in, I will. 1-800-636-8686. Top NFL story, Ben Roethlisberger needs surgery on his elbow. He is 37. He has taken a lot of punishment. He is out for the rest of the year. So I don't want to sit here two games in and say that the Steelers season is over, but I'm going to sit here 2 weeks in and say the Steelers season is over. And that's not in any way a shot at Mason Rudolph. I mean, now you'll get a chance to see exactly what you have in him. But imagine being Mike Tomlin. Imagine being Mike Tomlin. Sorry about that. It was not that long ago that Mike Tomlin had a team that had a look at winning the whole thing. Mike Tomlin had a team that had Ben Roethlisberger, that had Antonio Brown, that had Le'Veon Bell, that had Juju Smith-Schuster. Mike Tomlin had that team. Now Mike Tomlin has almost none of that. And he's got a quarterback who's 37, who needs elbow surgery on his throwing arm. And when you consider the punishment he's taken, I think it stands to reason. You can ask, is that the end of the line for Roethlisberger? Personally, and it's just an opinion, it's not a medical fact, but when I look at a guy who's 37, who's taken the punishment that he's taken, and he's going to miss the rest of the year, and he's having that kind of surgery, I mean, I don't think a guy like that goes away, takes the year, rehabs, comes back, and then it's the same guy, and he's ready to battle. Not at 37, not with that punishment. Now, my man Trevor Price, who played the game at a very high level, who had nearly 100 career sacks and a couple of Super Bowl rings, says his real issue is not so much the pounding. His real issue is not even the elbow surgery. According to my man Trevor Price, Ben's issue is he's not fat enough.
Fat? You can't do it at 172
pounds. 172
pounds.
Is there anybody in the NFL that weighs 172 right now? Maybe, but I'll tell you who's not. Ben, 172.
You can't do it at 172 pounds.
No, you can't, Trev, but he's not 172. Kyler Murray is listed at over 200. So if Kyler Murray is listed at 202 or 205 or 207, how is Ben 172? Think about that, Trev. 172. Kyler Murray is what, like 5'10", 207 list? So if he's listed at 5'10", 207, what is Kyler Murray really? 5'9 and a 16th and 198? Who knows? I just know that Ben's not 172. And I know that's not why he got hurt. I think it's fair to ask the question. Are the Steelers done? In fact, let me answer that question. Yes. Yes. Is Ben done? I don't know, but I would have sincere concerns. Then you've got Drew Brees. I thought that was the worst news of the day until that Roethlisberger story broke. He's going to have surgery, and he's going to miss 6 weeks. But the same Trevor Price said, oh, no, he's not. Oh, no, he's not. I've played the game. I've seen that injury up close. I know. I know he's not missing six. Really, Trev? How many weeks then? 12?
6 weeks is not it, man. That's going to be 12, 13 weeks. That might be season ending.
That might be season ending. That might be career ending. To hear Trevor Price tell it, that might be life threatening. Trevor.
Double it.
I said, Trevor, did you just say that there are reports that Drew Brees can miss 6 weeks, but you're doubling it? He said, yes, double it.
Double it. Double it.
Didn't Drew back in the day, like in the mid-2000s, have that hideous labrum injury? And did he not come back from that? And did he not only come back from that? And that was supposed to be career-threatening. Most thought that would end his career. Not only did it not end his career, he went on to become like the game's all-time leader in passing yardage. So do you not think that this guy's not going to come back in less than 12 weeks? I do. In fact, I know it. I know it. I know he's not going to be out 12 weeks. And I'm not a doctor. It's my man Trevor coming in and saying Trevor Price type things and just shaking it up. And a number of you clones saying, why? Tell me again, Rome, why you don't have the RPO? So we did that. Then you've got a week two recap. There's so many things I haven't even gotten to. Yesterday was a really weird day because so much of it was so similar to week one. I mean, I could run back almost the exact same things that I said a week ago. You know, like the Patriots are a good football team. The Dolphins are a horrible football team. And I don't mean horrible. I mean like historically horrible. Like, what are they still doing in the NFL? Horrible. How bad? According to ESPN stats and info, after getting blown out 59-10 and 43-0, the Dolphins have the third worst point differential through two games of any team in NFL history. The only teams worse are the 61 Oakland Raiders and the 1923 Rochester Jeffersons. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. If your name is being mentioned with the Rochester Jeffersons, you're in serious trouble. Not to be confused with the Manhattan Jeffersons. Then that'd be great. I'm not sure there's a guy right now on the Dolphins roster that I would pay actual money to see. But if my man George Jefferson were still around, I would give him a blank check to talk junk and slam the door in Willis's face all day long. I love George Jefferson. Man, I love that show. I miss that show. I miss that guy. Go look it up when you get some time. George Jefferson slamming the door in Willis's face makes me laugh every single time. Hey, George. Just slamming the door in anybody's face is funny. But George doing it to Willis was the best. Anyway, the Patriots. The Patriots are still good. The Dolphins are still horrible. Lamar Jackson is still pretty good for a wide receiver or a running back.
Not bad for a running back.
And Kyler Murray is still electric in the second half. The Saints are still getting jammed by the refs. The Chargers are still having horrible luck with injuries. Safety Adrian Phillips, who was replacing injured safety Derwin James, is now out indefinitely with a broken forearm. You know, like, I could say the same things about week two that I said in week one. Oh, and there is another thing that carried over from week one. An opposing quarterback threw an unforgivable interception to the Packers secondary.
Fake to Cook. Cousins bootlegs right. Chased by Dean Lowry. Lofts it right corner of the end zone. Leaping interception.
Kevin King's
got it. Green Bay football. A spectacular leaping grab. And now the officials are talking it over. It is Green Bay ball. Kevin King, high in the air.
Packers radio on the call. I mean, I'm telling you, that guy cannot throw that ball in that situation. He just can't. Hell, no quarterback can throw that ball in that situation. A jump ball interception on first down from the 8. That can't happen. You know it. I know it. Most of all, Kirk Cousins knows it.
There's no justification. There's no defense to be made. It was unacceptable. It put my team in a terrible position. We had worked so hard to get down there, had a great chance to take the lead, potentially, you know, win the game. And I just took it out of our hands by making that throw.
My man, I would love to say that you win as a team and you lose as a team and you got to stop being so hard on yourself. But I can't, because you're right about that. And even worse than losing a game that you could have won is losing your Hall of Fame quarterback. And maybe for an extended period of time. And as I've been talking about, both Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger dinged and both are out. Brees out for 6 weeks, reportedly. Ben out for the entire year. And then you've got that Sunday night game. In week one, it was the Pats blowing out the Steelers. Last night, it was the Eagles and the Falcons in a brawl. A brawl. Now, not necessarily the kind of brawl you want to see. In fact, if you had, or if you were a Matt Ryan hater, you had a lot of juice in your tank for most of the night. If you think Carson Wentz is overrated, it would have been hard to point out why he wasn't last night. Both guys, though, kept grinding as you'd expect a couple of dudes with their pedigree would. And then they both showed up huge when they needed it most. The Eagles were so busted up, they were practically running out of guys for Wentz to throw to. At one point, I thought they were going to lob a phone call to Eagle legend Jason Avant to see that if he still had a gamer and some screw-ins. And you know how he does. You know how he does. He would have gone for 300 yards if they asked him to, because Jason Avant is the man. He's a fine man, and I like him a lot. You know why he's the man? Because Jason Avant has great hands. Jason Avant is a fine man, and I do like him a lot. And he catches everything that is thrown in his general direction.
Jason Avant.
If the ball gets thrown to Jason Avant, he catches it.
Jason Avant.
He's a fine man.
Jason,
I like him
Avant
a lot. He's an eagle.
Jason Avant. Oh, oh, Jason Avant.
What an amazing song that is. But listen, Wentz was running out of guys to throw to, so I thought that somebody might lob Jason Avant a call.
Jason,
I was hoping.
Avant.
Jason Avant, if I had his digits. If I had his digits, I wouldn't even use them. I don't want to insult Jason Avant. He's a man. I like him a lot. He's a receiver. You throw him the ball and he catches it.
Jason Avant.
He plays for the Eagles. You throw it up, Jason Avant goes and gets it. He's a man. I like him a lot.
Jason Avant.
But then you go from bad to worse, right? Because then Wentz himself gets hurt. And even Jason Avant can't throw himself the football. But then Wentz came back. And then he's out there slinging it and getting lit up by the Falcons defense and pulling off ridiculous plays out of his backside like this.
Whiteside is a contested catch guy.
Right,
some
third
point,
down
give
and
him
nine.
A chance.
Wentz looks the other way, somehow gets away for the moment,
whoa,
throws under pressure and gets it away complete to the 12-yard line of Hollins.
Are you kidding me?
In the world, is this knee down before he throws it?
No. But the thing about this brawl, Atlanta was right there. They were right there. They just couldn't finish. They couldn't put Philadelphia away. They couldn't choke them out. And to not do so would be disastrous, right? If Atlanta loses that game at home to an Eagles team that was about a play away from seeing if Mike Quick still had a few plays left in him, how devastating would that have been for the Falcons, especially after they were embarrassed in week one? I think I saw Harold Carmichael reaching for his pads. There is no way the Falcons could start the season off with two losses like that. Now, I know they've been banged up on the offensive line, but there's no way you start a season by getting blown out in Minnesota and then coming back home and losing to a banged up Eagles team and still consider yourself a Super Bowl contender. At that point, you're probably not even a playoff team. But that's what the Falcons were looking at. Matt Ryan was off. He had thrown three interceptions. He had overthrown receivers for touchdowns on back-to-back plays. And my man, old Trevor Price, was setting up shop in order to come in here and wreck shop and call Matt Ryan the most overrated player in the history of the NFL. Then came 4th and 3 from their own 46. Just over 2 minutes to go, down 3. Maybe their season hanging in the balance. Literally. Roll it.
Snap to Ryan. Here comes Philly. Quick throw. This is Julio Jones. 45, 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. Holy goodness smokes.
Touchdown, Atlanta. Falcons radio. I'm not sure what was more impressive. Julio Jones hitting the turbo button on the Eagles or Jake Matthews hitting the dump truck button on the Eagles secondary.
Holy goodness smokes.
To quote my man, Coach K, I mean, damn. Julio.
Damn.
Julio hit the Jets. Jake hit the steamroller. Julio went full Bo Jackson. He ran into the tunnel after he scored. An amazing moment. Ball game. Thanks for coming. Or as my man Trevor would say, set, match, game. Or match game 78 or whatever. The thing is, that game was not over because the Eagles came right back. Did anybody really think that Carson Wentz was going to just turtle after that? Hell no. 4th and 14 from his own 39. Game on the line. Wentz does this.
Wentz in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He steps up.
He is floating it downfield. He wants Aguilar, who has it inside the 20. Inside the 20, Aguilar went up and got it. It's amazing. Clock ticking, 115, 114. That was much more difficult than the one he missed.
Eagles radio, and somewhere there was an Eagle fan scraping horse dung off the street, looking to make a sandwich. At that point, how could you not think Philly wasn't going to win that game? How could you not think that Philly was not going to rip that game? You know you did. Falcon fan, you know you did. We all did. And Nelson Aguilar, who had that unforgivable drop moments earlier, came right back to make up for it with a near impossible grab. It was right there for Philly to steal and maybe even end Atlanta's season in the process. But then Wentz goes incomplete, two-yard gain, incomplete to set this up. Fourth and eight from the 16.
Fourth and eight at the 16, 38 seconds left. Game may be in the balance. Wentz throws, caught. Ertz is going to be stopped, shy of the first down, I believe.
He needed to get the eight-yard line. They're marking him
at the nine, and they'll review, of course, under 2 minutes.
After review, the ruling on the field stands. Atlanta's the ball. First down.
Ball game.
Sounded almost like Atlanta, didn't it? Atlanta. Falcons radio. Man, that was amazing. Just short. Atlanta. Absolutely textbook tackle from Falcons corner, Isaiah Oliver. He's listed at 6 feet, 210. If you ask Trevor, he's listed at 4'8", 130. Just kidding, Trev. Now, he's listed at 210. Zach Ertz goes 6'5", 250, and Oliver just straight stoned him. Did not give an inch, because that's about all Ertz would have needed to get that first down and keep that game going. So a kick in the junk loss for the Eagles, who had no business ripping it but nearly did. Huge win for the Falcons, who had every reason to blow it and nearly did. When you lose that game and their season is over before September is over and everybody is saying same old Falcons, same old Falcons. Instead, they find a way to win. And they keep everybody from smashing that panic button after week two. And they did it by having Julio go Julio when it mattered most. I know that was a long take on that game, but that was an amazing game, really. Not great to watch in its entirety, but an amazing game in the end. Hell of a week. Hell of a Sunday. Hell of a day. Hell of a way to end it. How was your weekend?
Holy goodness smokes!
Falcon fan. Man, we were all this close to saying same old Falcons. Same old Falcons. Philly fan, you nearly ripped that. Nearly.
Amanda.
We are open phones. What? Hey, Adam, you're not moving around too well. What's up? Holy crap, Hawk. Not again. Not again, dude. You do not look good at all. Oh, I can't wait to find out what happened this time. Is that a tennis injury? Is that you leaning over from the trunk of your car to put on your golf shoes? Injury? Only Hawk. Why are you gimping around like that, bro? I thought you were getting ready for another marathon. I thought you had cleaned up what you were eating. Maybe I saw that wrong. Maybe you're fine. This email says, Romy, double it. Double it.
Double. It.
Regards, Charlie Weiss, when the cashier at Taco Bell rolls out a wheelbarrow full of burritos.
Double it.
Geoff and Lincoln. All right. A moratorium on Charlie Weiss emails. Just, he's got nothing to do with anything right now. Unless we're talking about coordinating the Patriots back in the day. Unless you want to talk about his time at Notre Dame.
Jungle Caramel.
We're not talking about Jungle Caramel. We're not talking about wheelbarrows full of Burrito Supremes. They don't do that at the Bell. There is no wheelbarrow at Taco Bell.
Double it.
Hey, Rome, Trevor Price sounds like a guy whose opinion should be respected amongst his peers. Signed, Chiropractors. Stephen PHX.
I'm on fire.
Ask him. Trevor has an amazing NFL resume. I laid it out for you at the top. 2 Super Bowl rings, multiple Pro Bowl appearances, several times an All-Pro, 98 sacks lifetime. He also added to his stats, he was held on every single play of his entire career. I think also Trevor played 14 years in the NFL. He's got some great stats. I'm sure he is respected by the guys he played with, the guys who tried to block him, the guys he won with. He's got 2 rings now. You don't mention him alongside chiropractors. Boy, Hawk, I'm trying to cut you some slack. You're making it awful hard. The curiosity is absolutely killing me, man. I would give anything to know what you did to yourself this time. I really got to know. I'm going to try and spare you. I'm going to try not to ask, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. Now, had you not walked or gimped or limped or crawled that email in here, which should have never seen the light of day anyway, I wouldn't even know. But I do. And we will return. When we come back, why don't we talk about the new Kings of New York? Do you love football? Do you live for Monday nights? Do you love making money? Then you better get with the program and get on down to Hooters. Catch the game and play Monday Night Moneyball. Every week, you are just a few questions away from making some bank. You can win cash prizes. You can win free Hooters food and drinks. It is easy to play. It works like making prop picks. Who's going to win? It might be you. It could not get any easier, and it's free to play. And why wouldn't you do it? You love wings, right? You love ice cold beer, right? And who doesn't love the world famous Hooters girls? There is no better place to get your sports fix. And now you can get in on the action. If you've got some game, head to Hooters. Watch all the games. Eat, drink, play. You might win big with Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. It only happens at your local Hooters and HootersMoneyball.com, so register right now. Then head on into Hooters for every game all season long. I might see you there.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Last segment was a little fat. So this segment's going to be a little bit skinny. Meaning it's going to be short. Do not be alarmed. I want to remind you to come into Hooters every Monday all season long and play Monday Night Moneyball. You're just a few questions, easy ones, away from a chance at cash prizes and Hooters freebies. A new chance to win every week. Hooters girls are there to make every game more fun. Monday Night Moneyball at HootersMoneyball.com. So if you're looking for a place to check out the action tonight, get to a Hooters. While I've got your attention, Dell's semi-annual sale saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. You want to call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. Damn, Alva, you can't wait to hit that sounder. 877-BUY-DELL. Or visit Dell.com/business deals.
Can't wait.
All right, so keep that in mind. What I still want to get to is, and it's going to be hard for me to get all this in, what I haven't talked about at length are the Patriots. And I said, when I mentioned week 2, a lot of what I said in week 1 would apply to week 2. I can run back some of the same takes. Like, the Patriots are really good. The Dolphins are really crappy. One different thing about the Pats is Antonio Brown played. There were reports prior to the game that had Bob Kraft known about allegations involving Antonio Brown, then he would not have brought him in. Of course, Bob Kraft knows about allegations involving Antonio Brown, and he's still there. Not only is Brown still there, Brown played. Not only did Brown play, they fed him the rock. You know, kind of like this whole notion of, let's see. All right, so we've got Antonio Brown, and he's got to learn a new offense. And it's really unlike anything he's ever done before. Oh, looky here. We're playing the Dolphins. Not only will we play this guy, we're going to try and feed this guy the rock as many times as we can because, well, we're playing the Dolphins. And they're arguably the worst football team ever. Now would be a perfect time to play Antonio Brown. Yeah, but what about that whole thing about had we known, we would not have brought him in? Oh, no, we would not have brought this guy in. Yeah, but you do know. You know now. So why are you not doing anything about it? Because had we known, we wouldn't have done it. Yeah, but you know. You know now. Yeah, but anonymous sources say that if Bob Kraft had known, he wouldn't have done it. You know, I'm guessing he would have. I'm not saying he knew. I'm not saying he knew. I'm saying he knows now. And the response was not only to play the guy, but to give him more targets than any of the others. So don't tell me if you had known, you wouldn't have brought him in. Because you do know, and he's still there, and he's getting targeted more than any other receiver. So don't tell me that. Just tell me what we already know. Yeah, we have this guy. Because we think he can help us win. Just say that. Just own that. And then if you're going to tell people anonymously that had we known, we wouldn't have, put your name on that then. Put your name on it and say it for the record. But then how can you do that? Because you know and he's still there. And he's getting the ball a lot. In fact, there was a report that he got the game ball after the game. So stop with this narrative about had we known, we wouldn't have brought him in. Because you do know and you gave him the game ball. All right? Just own it. Yeah, we did it. Yes, we did it. Because he's not on the commissioner's exempt list. Because we don't know for certain. And so he's here, and he makes us better, and he helps us win, and we're going to get him the ball. Man, just own it. Just be real about it. Just own this. How are you going to cover Brown, Gordon, and Edelman? We can't? Right. That's what we thought. Own that. Don't be running around telling people anonymously that, oh, no, we would have never brought him in if we had known. Because you know now and you're not doing anything about it. When we come back, I want to get into the new Kings of New York. Bills Mafia, this one's for you. That's coming up next. But first, here is a sports update. And it's been a very busy day. Here is the latest. Richard. All right, I'm trying to get to the Kings of New York, which actually leads me into the ATP. ATP, a.k.a. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jim, how in the hell do you pull off that turnaround that you do when you do the Sunday hits in New York? Do you sleep on the way back, or are you too jacked up on adrenaline to knock off for a few Z's? Thanks, Declan in Davis. If you want, I can lay out that weekend for you really quickly. All right, so I fly out of L.A. on Saturday morning. I get into New York early Saturday evening. Drive into the city. It depends how you hit it. Like this time of year where the weather's really nice, Saturday's always kind of a challenge to get into the city. But I got in Saturday night in about an hour, which I'll take every single time. In the wintertime, when it starts to snow and you get the elements, it could take 2 hours or more, which is tough. And then Sunday morning, it's like I've mentioned Drew Kalisky a couple of times. Drew runs an extremely well-oiled machine. Their process at the NFL on CBS is amazing, like clockwork. Everybody hits all their cues, all their targets. Everybody knows their deal. So we have a production meeting at 8 o'clock. Then we all go our separate ways. I do that show. I'm back on the afternoon flight. To answer your question, I do not sleep on the way back. Obviously, I watch games. Normally, I can get TV on the flight back, and I stream the best I can. I watch as much as I can. The amazing thing is I can start Sunday morning, at least yesterday, Sunday morning in New York City, be on the NFL on CBS pregame show, and I can make it home to Los Angeles in time for the fourth quarter of the Sunday night game and do that all in one day. And it's awesome. In the meantime, like, oh, yeah, Rome, well, how do you watch everything? I've got certain ways of watching as much as I can. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watch every minute of every single game. I mean, that'd be a lie, right? On a weekend like that. But I stream and I DVR and I've got a great staff and I do as many things as I possibly can in that turnaround. Remember, I'm in New York City less than 24 hours. I get in at 5-ish and I'm out before 5-ish. And I'm back home 7-ish. So it's one big adrenaline run. The one thing that I've had to learn that I forgot about because it was my first time back, man, it really depends how you sleep and how you eat. If you come off the rails and you make poor choices, it makes things much tougher. Everything is tougher. But no, I definitely do not nap it out on the plane. Now, the question then is, when you get off that set and you go to the airport and you haven't eaten all day, what do you eat? And more importantly, what do you drink? Do you treat yourself to that brewski or do you go right to the Joe? And I'll own that. I'll answer that question. Did I go beer or did I go coffee? And the answer is yes.
Put that coffee down.
I'm not going to lie, man. I had a beer at the airport. And the second I sat down the plane, I started pounding Joe.
Yeah!
Smart, right? 1-800-636-8686. So let's settle a debate right here, right now, once and for all. Who is the true king of New York? Is it the icon, the legend, Frank Sinatra?
It's up to you.
Who's cooler than Frank?
New York.
Gotta love Frank. But you gotta love Frank. Born in Jersey. Singing his guts out about New York. Yeah, I don't know, maybe Hoboken didn't have the same ring to it. I don't know. Maybe a son of the Garden State can't be the king of the Empire State. Maybe it's the Big Apple born and raised hip-hop living legend, Jay-Z. Anyone from anywhere could call Sean Carter the dawn of New York, and nobody would have an issue with that, right? Nobody would raise a hand in objection. Nobody would think twice. Am I right? Anybody from anywhere? Maybe. That is, until yesterday. Until 53 savages from 400 miles away made their second trip down the 86 in as many weeks and reminded the world that New York isn't a city, it's a state. And if you're looking for a new anthem to bump from Soho to Niagara Falls, look no further than this right here. The Buffalo freaking Bills. The undisputed, undefeated true kings of New York. Not just 2-0 on the season, but 2-0 by way of smashing up the Jets and the Giants in their shared house of MetLife Stadium, which I'm officially going to rename Bills Life Stadium because it is their crib now. The Empire State is now the Mafia State, the up-and-coming shiny city with a population of, I don't know, 280K, runs that show back east. Let's talk about this. Buffalo 28, the New York Football Giants 14. Josh Allen, one clean ass game. Eli Manning, anything but. I don't know what was the more Eli Manning stat from yesterday. The two interceptions or the fact that he threw for less yards than Josh Allen on 15 more attempts. I don't know, and honestly, I don't care because this is about the Bills and my man Frank Gore. Frank Gore, still getting it done 15 years into his brilliant, and if you ask me, Hall of Fame career.
Snap. Frank Gore buries his head, drives in into the end zone, touchdown. Frank Gore just bowls his way into the end zone from 1 yard out. He steamrolled his way into the end zone.
The Kings of New York Radio Network. Nothing like a Jungle Karma Insurance TD with 5 minutes left to go. And it was more than enough to put that game on ice because the Bills chased that Frank Gore sixer by turning the Giants over on downs and then picking Eli off one drive later. Yes, it is early, but why wait to party when you can party right now? And this is the mafia we're talking about. So why don't we all just jump through a table and freaking party right now? Wait for who? Wait for what? Through two games, the Bills are top 10 in total yardage, top 10 in rushing yards per game. On the defensive side, top 6 in both yards allowed and points allowed. In other words, they are balanced. And all you haters who can't wait to point out that it's only the Jets, it's only the Giants, it's only two games, man, get the hell out of here with that. The Bills don't make the schedule. They play the schedule, and they're playing the hell out of it. Josh Allen got it done through the air, on the ground, and definitely at the podium afterwards. Check out this reporter getting a geography lesson when he reminded Josh Allen that the Jets and the Giants were both on the board before the Bills picked in 2018, and he could have easily been in New York.
Could have ended up in New York. Obviously, the Jets were heavily involved.
I am in New York.
I am in New York. Damn straight. Have some. Last I checked, Buffalo was in New York, and so is Josh Allen. And the Buffalo, New York Bills are running the state right now. Ask the Jets. Ask the Giants. And not to get too technical with it, but the Bills are the only New York-based team to actually play their games in New York. But that's none of my business. And when the Bills do get back to a stadium that's actually sitting on New York land, they will be 2-0. So keep your rubber dongas at home this year, Mafia. The Nate Peterman days are over. You're royalty now. The official kings of New York. And don't let a couple of New Jersey teams tell you otherwise. There are some new kings of New York.
Rubber donga.
Leave your rubber dongas at home, Mafia. You don't need it anymore.
Rubber donga.
What was that, Alvin?
Rubber donga. Rubber donga. Rubber donga.
What kind of a donga?
Rubber donga. Rubber donga.
What are they used for?
Rubber donga.
Where do you usually find them? On the field. Not anymore, you don't. No need for that.
Rubber donga.
No need for that. Bills Mafia. We'll talk about it tomorrow. America's team is in action this evening. Cleveland Browns. You already know where I come out on them. I've talked about them on this show. I talked about them on the NFL on CBS yesterday. I talked about them on Tops on CBS Sports Network yesterday. You know how I feel about that team. They're fine. They're back in action tonight. Now we are done.
Now I'm done.
My thanks to Trevor Price. Two-time Super Bowl champ, friend of the program, media mogul, author, content king, hot take artist. Nice job, Trev. Good to hear your voice.
I'm on fire.
We had Temple head football coach Rod Carey. We had BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake. Tomorrow, obviously, reaction to the Browns' win over the Jets. I'll be getting into that tomorrow. Packers running back Aaron Jones on this show tomorrow. My thanks to the XR4TI. Hawk, you better have a miracle recovery or we're talking about whatever you did to yourself tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We're out.